Put your hands together and bless his name. Come on, come on. Put your hands together and bless his name. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm a living testimony. I thank God I'm still alive. Come on, look at somebody and say, I'm a living testimony. I'm still alive. Could have been, should have been dead, sleeping in my grave. The Lord has blessed us to see another day. It's another day's journey, and I'm glad about it. Come on, if you got a praise in you, why don't you let it out? Come on, give the Lord what he deserves. Come on, don't take it back home with you. If you got one in you, why don't you give it to him? Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, we thank you for today. This is the day that you've made. We rejoice and we're glad in it. Thank you, Lord, for a portion of health and strength, minds that's sane, hearts that's fixated on you. For, Lord, you are the caregiver, captain, and caretaker of our lives. Where we are, you brought us. What we have, you gave it to us. What we know, you taught us. Lord, we give you all the praise and glory because it is you and you alone that have navigated our niches and allowed us the privilege of being participatory in this place of praise once again. Lord, it's good to be alive. It's good to be alert. It's good to be active. It is in your Son, Jesus Christ, we live, move, and have our being. Lord, thank you for worship. Thank you for word. Lord, our hearts are postured. Our minds are fixed in great anticipation of you giving us a word from heaven's way. Lord, I decrease, you increase. Less of me, more of you. As always, we pray that you counsel out every stratagem and scheme of the enemy, that nothing will hinder your word from going forth. Send it as you send rain and snow from heaven to water the earth, to give seed to the sower, bread to the eater. Your word shall go forth from you and will not return unto you void, but it will accomplish all that you send it to accomplish. Give us ears that's sensitive and hearts that soft for the receptivity of your word. And Lord, when you would have finished with us, you'll still be God, having all honor and glory, majesty and power. Have your way in this place, in us and through us, for your glory and our good, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on, one more time. Put your hands together and bless the name of the Lord. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. God is good and he's worthy to be praised. Everyone to your feet if you can. Psalm 90. Psalm 90. As you are turning to Psalm 90, or Psalm 90 is on the screen. God has a word for us. Psalms 90. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Thou turneth man to destruction and sayest, return ye children of men. For a thousand years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. Thou carrieth them away as with a flood. They are as a sleep. In the morning they are like grass which groweth up. In the morning they flourisheth and groweth up. In the evening it is cut down and withereth. For we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath are we troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 70 years and 10. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow. For it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? And let it repent thee concerning thy servants. O satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us, and the years wherein we have seen evil. Let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands, establish thou it. That's the word of the Lord for the people of God. The word is blessed. May we be blessed by being hearers and doers of his holy word. Psalms 90. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. That's what I want to talk about, preach about. Dwelling in the Lord. Dwelling in the Lord. This psalm, Psalm 90, is known as a prayer of Moses in the wilderness. For you know Moses. Moses, the Hebrew boy, raised in the palace of Pharaoh. Moses, the foster son of Pharaoh's daughter. Moses, the one who killed an Egyptian soldier for the maltreatment of a Hebrew slave. Yes, sir. Moses, who lived in the wilderness for 40 years after fleeing Pharaoh. Moses, the one who saw the burning bush that was not consumed. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Moses, the great man of God, and God's man, chosen of God. Yes, sir. Inspired of God, honored of God, and faithful to God in leading God's people out of Egypt. It is Moses in his latter years, yes, sir, that put pen to papyrus to write this particular psalm, yes, sir, known as his prayer. Yes, sir. Moses wrote this psalm while they were wandering, yeah, in the wilderness. Mm. He wrote it as a prayer. He was a man of prayer. Moses knew how to pray. He knew how to commune with God for himself and for the people of God, the people that God called him to be over, the people God called him to lead out of slavery into the promised land. Moses, he knew how to intercede for Israel. Here Moses prays and praises God for keeping them during the wilderness wandering. For 40 years, God provided, God protected, God preserved the people of God. You remember the 40 years God kept the clothes and sandals from wearing. For 40 years, God would rain down manna from heaven. And occasionally would give them quail as they meandered in the wilderness. Moses put pen to papyrus to write this song of prayer and praise unto God. My brothers and sisters, I need to pause parenthetically to say to us, occasionally we need to pause and write our prayer and praise unto God, because it is God who has brought us where we are. It is God who has given us what we have. And every now and then we need to sit down and write God out a prayer and praise to thank him for what he has done, what he is doing, and what he's going to do. Is there anybody in here can be a witness that you know without the shadow of a doubt that if it had not been for God on your side, you wouldn't be sitting up in here, up in here, up in here. You wouldn't be lifting your hands, elevating your voice, clapping your hands, giving God an occasional amen and thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God, because if it hadn't been for God, you would have been somewhere sleeping in a grave. But thanks be to God that not only did he keep you yesterday, he touched you this morning and brought you from a sleep so close to death. Your eyes came open and you beheld a new day. Listen, God, he brought us, he's blessing us, and every now and then we need to sit down and write out our prayer and give God a praise for what God is doing in our lives. He's thanking God for his provision and protection. He's thanking God for preserving them, keeping them. He's praising God for the attributes of God. The actions of God as they meandered in the wilderness. Several things I would like to divulge from the text that helps us see God as God. First of all, we deal with the faithfulness of God. Let me hear you say the faithfulness of God. The faithfulness of God. Verse 1, Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Moses takes a look back over the landscape of the Exodus when he and the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness while they were dwelling in makeshift tents, while they had no permanent physical place to dwell in. He recognizes the shelter, the comfort, the protection and preservation of God and what they had in God and in God alone. Moses and the people of Israel, the children of Israel, did not dwell in tabernacles and in temples. They only had their dwelling in the Lord. That's why he could say, Lord, you have been our dwelling place. Listen to me, there's no safer place to dwell in than in the Lord. I know you got a security system on your house, on your home, and you think you're safe. I know you have a weapon of mass destruction in your drawer right beside your bed while you sleep. And if you are easily disturbed, you can open the drawer and take out your weapon of mass destruction. You know, your 357, your 38, you know, your weapon of mass destruction. I know you think that's keeping you safe, but listen, there is no safe place like God. Because if the Lord don't keep you, I don't care how many bullets you have. I don't care how many knives you have. I don't care what kind of security system you have on your house. If the Lord don't keep you, look at somebody and tell them you won't be kept. He is the safest place to dwell in. Lord, you have been our dwelling place. Listen, Israel, they lived in makeshift tents. And brothers and sisters, the same holds true for us. We have no permanent dwelling place in the houses we live in the apartments some live in the land we live in. Every place we find ourselves is temporal. But in God, in the Lord, we have a dwelling place that's permanent. Notice several things about the faithfulness of God. The period of God's faithfulness. Verse 2a and b clauses. Before the mountains were brought forth, or even thou hast formed the earth and the world, God was when nothing else was. He was God when the earth was not. And when the earth was nothing, God was God. He was God, so God that he stepped out on nothing and called everything into existence from nothing. See, God is not like man. Man needs something to work with to make something, but God can use nothing and bring something out of nothing. God was before was was. Look at somebody and tell them God was before was was. He was God before he brought settlement out of chaos. When mountains were not upheaved, and when generations of the heavens and the earth had not begun, God did not just start being faithful. God has always been faithful. Before God created anything, he was faithful. Hallelujah. He was faithful.
Yes, sir.
With nothing, he was faithful.
Without anything, he was faithful. But not only do we see the period of his faithfulness, we see the persistence,
yes, sir,
of his faithfulness.
Verse 2.
That's right. Even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God.
In the eternal one, there is a safe place for all generations. God was, God is, and God will always be faithful. Listen, not only was he faithful in grandmama's day and granddaddy's day and in mama's day and in daddy's day and our day and in your day, but he's going to be faithful in our children's day and in our grandchildren's day and in our great-grandchildren's day, because he's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. He's faithful. He's faithful. Not only do we see the faithfulness of God in verses 1 and 2, but in verses 8, 3 through 8, we see the frailty of man. Moses acknowledged the frailty of man. Notice In verses 3 through 6, Moses' first comparison has to do with our perception of time.
Yes, sir.
He speaks of mankind returning to the dust. In other words, we are hemmed in by time. Oh, we live in time life. But time will not be as time has always been. Because we are going to return to the dust. We want to return to the dust because of Adam's transgression. You remember what God told Adam. He told Adam.
That if you eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, you will surely die.
Yeah.
Y'all know what happened.
Yeah.
Eve ate.
Yeah.
It was good, and then she offered it to Adam.
Yeah.
Adam ate.
Yeah.
And when Adam ate, it started the process of decay that would eventually lead to death.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, because of Adam's disobedience, all of us got a death date and appointment that we can't shirk, we can't reschedule, we can't put off. Listen, we have time life.
That's why you don't need to waste time. I heard Reverend Logan, 90-some years old, down in Louisville, Mississippi, stumble up to the microphone and said the greatest waste a man can have is when he loses or wastes his time. Because when time is lost, you can't get it back. Look at somebody and tell them you can't get it back.
He deals with the frailty of man in perception of time. That all of us are living time life, and we are returning to the dust.
To the dust. You remember what he said in Ecclesiastes 12 verse 7?
Yes, sir.
That the spirit will go back to God, but the body will go to the dust. We are mortal beings. We are not here to live this fleshly life forever.
You're right.
We see the telltale signs. We're not as agile as we used to be. We're not as spruce and spry as we used to be. Our skin is not as tight. Come on, talk to me if you can. Our hair is not as black as it used to be. Our steps are not as swift and fast as they used to be. We are all slowing down. Our teeth are not as strong and as white, pearly white, as they used to be. Our eyes are not as sharp as they used to be. Our hearing is not as good as it used to be. Telltale signs that we're on our way out of here. And it's because of the judgment of God, that God is a God of judgment, and you can believe his word. We see the judgment of God and how he dealt with the Egyptians in the 10 plagues, because Pharaoh's heart was hard. But not only did he judge Egypt, he judged Israel because of their complaining while they were in Egypt. You remember in chapter 5 of Exodus, when Pharaoh intensified the workload of Israel, they complained against God. You remember when God brought them out of Egypt and he had them to meander around by the Red Sea, and Pharaoh's army was pursuing. They started grumbling and griping against God. You remember when God delivered them across the sea and they found themselves in the wilderness and the water was bitter? And because they had no fresh water to drink, they began to complain against God. You remember while they were in the wilderness, they had no food to eat. But prior to God raining down manna, and then even when God rained down manna, the bread wasn't good enough. They wanted some meat and started comparing the wilderness to Egypt. Listen, let me tell you something. When God is blessing you, don't you try to compare God to the devil that deceived you. Because listen, God's blessings for you are always better than the devil's deception for you. They complain against God. And God got them to the Jordan River. Instead of them going in, they doubted the ability of God to conquest the land. They compared themselves to the inhabitants of the land of Canaan and said, "We are nothing but grasshoppers." And it angered God. And his judgment was for them to turn into the wilderness as a filtration, as a way of separating the doubters from the doers. I think I better say that again. That God has a way of separating doubters from doers. There were only two doers in the whole group of Israelites. That was Caleb and Joshua, and everybody else doubted. Therefore, everybody else died in the wilderness. Doubt leads to death. And God's judgment was poured out on them. And Moses saw the children of Israel perishing in the wilderness.
All right.
Even he himself died in the wilderness because of his anger. Brought on by the complaint of the people. And instead of him speaking to the rock, he struck the rock. Don't you let nobody get you that mad. Come up in here trying to strike the rock when God says speak to the rock. Don't you let nobody get you that upset. Don't you let the people on your job, the people in your house or your home get you that upset when you come out here trying to take out your frustrations on God. Baby, you better keep yourself cool, calm, and collected with God and look at your enemies cross-eyed. But don't you look at God cross-eyed. And don't you get big and bad with God. You need to sit down somewhere when it comes to God and tell your enemies to go somewhere and sit down. But don't you let folks make you that upset. He died in the wilderness. The frailty of man. The faithfulness of God. But here's the last, and I'm done. He deals with the favor of God. He closes in verses 13 through 17, dealing with the favor of God.
All right.
He closes the petition of the psalm by asking God, asking the Lord for favor. Lord, give us mercy and favor. Now, mercy. He says, satisfy us early with thy mercy. That's verse 14. Because he knew they needed mercy because of their complaint against God. You need mercy when you speak against. You know, that's what complaining is. Instead of you praising God for his goodness, you're trying to be critical of God. because of your misunderstanding. They complain against God in the wilderness. They grumbled against Moses. And Moses said, you're not complaining against me. You're complaining against God. He asked God for mercy because Israel grumbled against God. But he also asked God for mercy because Israel disobeyed God.
All right.
You know, Moses went up the mountain to commune with God. And he tarried a little longer than they expected. And they thought he was dead. And you know, they, you know, voted in a new pastor. You know, they thought Moses was dead. So they voted in his brother, Aaron. And in voting Aaron in, they dishonored God because God's man was on the mountain with him. But not only did they change pastors, they changed God. The gold that God blessed them with in Egypt, when he told them to go borrow the gold from the Egyptians, and when he brought them out and led them through the Red Sea, he gave them supernatural debt cancellation because they weren't going back into Egypt. Listen, it's a bad thing to take the blessings of God and use the blessings of God against God. Oh, I'm preaching better. Y'all saying amen. They took the gold that God had blessed them with. And because Moses was in the mountain speaking with God, and because they didn't hear God, they put the gold together and created themselves a golden calf. Listen, let me tell you something about people that I discovered. They have no problem praising a lesser God. The problem comes when you try to get them to praise the God. If I had time, I would show you what I'm talking about by telling you, if you believe in God, give him some praise. See how you're still sitting there? But if I told you to give to praise your job, if I told you to praise your house, if I told you to praise your spouse, if I told you to praise your boss, you'll lose yourself in praising lesser God. But when it comes to God, when it comes to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, we have a problem with praising the God. They recruited themselves and voted in a new pastor. You know, people always want a pastor that'll let them have their way. You know, they knew they wouldn't have pulled that stuff with Moses, because Moses was too close to God for them to be trying to pull that stuff with Moses. So they thought Moses was dead. And you can hear them talking around the camp. You know, Moses is finally gone. And we can do what we want to do. We can have ourselves a party. We can have ourselves a shindig. We can get together and have ourselves a good old time because Moses is dead. Now, come on, Aaron. You are a new pastor. Come on, Aaron. You are a new leader. Here's our goal. Make us another God. And when Moses came down on that mountain, he had two tablets in his hand.
Yeah.
He threw those tablets down to destroy the idol, grind the idol into powder, and had some of them to eat it, and it killed them in the wilderness. Listen, you better not play with God. You'll come out better. If you go down to Chuck E. Cheese, you'll come out better. If you go over to the trampoline park, you'll come out better. If you go down to Walmart and buy yourself a Tonka truck or a big wheel bike, you'll come out better. But if you go down there and buy yourself a G.I. Joe set, but don't you play with God. Look, help me preach it now. Look at somebody and tell them, don't you play with God, because he's nothing to play with. You better get in him and stay in him. He says, Lord, we need mercy. We need mercy. We need mercy. And he deals with mercy in four ways. He deals with the point for mercy. Verse 14, he says, early. Literally meaning, after a night of trouble, give us a bright morning of mercy. Now understand why Jeremiah wrote in Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 and 23. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassion fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Somebody here ought to be a witness. You glad that God didn't give you old worn out mercies, but he gave you new mercies this morning? He didn't give you yesterday's mercy, last week's mercy, last month's mercy. He gave you new mercies this morning. Can you give him a praise for a moment for mercy? I'm here not because I've done it all right, but because of his mercy. Come on, help me shout mercy. Thank you, Lord, that I'm not consumed. I should have been dead, sleeping in my grave, but Lord, thank you for mercy. He didn't do to me what I deserve him to do to me. He gives the period or the point of mercy.
Yes, sir.
He deals with the proportion of mercy in verse 15. Moses asks for mercy in proportion to the time of sorrow and adversity. In other words, as long as the suffering lasts, give us mercy that lasts just as long. God sends mercy to minister to you in your moments of misery. When you are being afflicted, while you are suffering, he sends his mercy. That's why you're held together. That's why you last. That's why you're enduring. Because God, he sends his mercies to match your moments of misery. That his mercies are stronger than your miseries. Even when you want to let go, his mercies are holding you. He says, as long as we're suffering, as long as we are afflicted, give us your mercy. That's why the psalmist said in Psalm 100, verse 5, for the Lord is good and his mercy endures forever. The psalmist in Psalm 136, verse 1, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. Thank you, Lord, that your mercies are lasting. He deals with the point for mercy, the proportion of mercy. He deals with the purpose of mercy. Verse 16, that God would reveal his purpose to them. Life is empty. Life is miserable. And life is without latitude when life is lived without purpose.
Yes, sir.
Life without purpose is life without destination.
Yes, sir.
You know how miserable life would be if you got up every day not knowing where you were going?
Amen.
I'm waiting on y'all to catch up with me. If you live life not knowing what you were going to do, to just wake up and merely exist is misery. Can you imagine getting up and having nowhere to go? Having no conversation to have? Having no way of improvement? Having no one to love? And no one to love you back? You know, even retired folk find something to do.
Amen. Amen.
Purpose. Purpose. But to just get up and to exist without purpose, that Moses knew that God had given them mercy for purpose. God was leading them somewhere. That you're not going to die in between. Unless you're a doubter. Let me say that again because y'all got quiet. You're not going to die in between Egypt and Canaan unless you a doubter. Because all doubters die in the wilderness. So he knew God was giving them mercy for purpose. But then here's the last power of mercy. Verse 17, and I'm done. God's mercy can establish the work his people are engaged in. In other words, God, by his mercy, can bless the work, advance the work, prosper the work. He said in verse 17, he said, Lord, let the beauty of you be upon us. And establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands, establish thou it. Listen, when God establishes the work, the devil in hell can't outdo it and can't undo it. You know, that's why we can praise him and say no weapon formed against us is able to prosper. That's why we can praise him. Because greater is he that is within us than he that is in the world. That's why we can praise him, because he has called us to be more than conquerors. Look at your neighbor and tell your neighbor that I'm not just a conqueror, but I'm more than a conqueror. In other words, I'm not barely winning. I'm sure enough winning. I'm not a victor, but I'm not a victim, but I am a victor. We can't lose with God on our side. That's why we ought to praise the Lord for what he has called us to. Because if God called you to it, he will see you through it. Come on, help me preach it, if you will, and tell your neighbor that you are not going to die on your way to the promise. Because if God called you to it, he will see you through it, regardless of how hard it gets, regardless of how troublesome it gets, regardless of how many turbulence you have on your way. You're gonna make it because you got God on your side. How do you know you're gonna make it? Because Joshua led them into the promised land. Joshua led them to conquest the land because God told them he was going to give them the land. And if God said it, it's settled. Help me preach it. Shake your neighbor's hand and tell them, if God said it, it's settled. You don't have to worry. It's done already. Come on, help me preach it. Stand on your feet and slip your hand in your neighbor's hand and say, neighbor, if God said it, it shall come to pass. If God said it, it's settled. You don't have to worry about God making good of his promises, because he called another leader by the name of Joshua. And Joshua was a shadow of Christ. Not only did he call Joshua, but he sent his son Jesus Christ, and his son came down through 42 generations and was landed in a place called Bethlehem. He walked the dusty streets of Palestine for 33 years, opened the eyes of the blind and unstopped the ears of the deaf. He fed hungry multitudes and he walked on raging seas. He stopped funerals, possessions, and raised the dead. But not only did he raise the dead, one Friday he decided to die on a hill called Calvary. He died on Calvary's cross. How many of you know he died? If you know he died, why don't you say he died? He was not in a comatose state. He was not in a trance, but he died. He died until the sun refused to shine. He died until the moon dripped away in blood. He died until the stars fell from the socket. He died until the earth reeled and rocked like a drunk man. He died until the veil of the temple was rent from the top to bottom. He died. If you know he died, holler back at me. He died. He died until they took his lifeless body down from the cross and put it in a borrowed tomb. And whatever you borrow, you got to give it back. He only needed it for 3 days. Friday night, Saturday morning, Saturday night, but early Sunday morning? Do I have early Sunday morning believers that know he got up? If you know he got up, you ought to speak up and say he got up with all power in his hand, and can't nobody do me like Jesus. Can't nobody do me like the Lord. He's sure enough good to me. If you know he's good, let me hear you say good. Good is God, and God is good all the time. Come on, help me, preacher, say good is God, and God is good all the time. Come on, help me one more time. Good is God, and God is good all the time. Yeah! The doors. The door of the Lord's house stands ajar. Listen, we dwell in the Lord because there's no safe place in all the earth like the Lord. Moses in the wilderness wrote his prayer and praise unto God because he saw the faithfulness of the Lord. He saw the frailty of man, but then he saw the need of the faithful, or the favor of God. Listen, we all need favor. Favor is God giving you what you don't deserve. Favor is God holding back from you what you deserve. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. He gives us favor because favor is power. We can conquer all that Satan throw our way. All of life, the difficulties of life, the devastations that we experience in life, the dangers, even the devil, because we have the mercy of God, the favor of God on our life. Listen, I want you to be encouraged, because the Lord is your safe place. It is not what you have in the drawer next to your bed. It's not your security systems, because your security systems don't keep anyone from breaking in. They just alarm you when they do. It's not the cameras you have. It's not the case that you carry around in your pocket. But it's the Lord. And the reason you have survived your storms is because of the Lord. The reason you made it through your low moments in life is because of the Lord. The reason you are where you are today, celebrating life and the goodness of God, is because of the Lord. Moses, he wrote on it. He says, Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. He kept my grandmama, my granddaddy, my mama, my daddy. He's keeping me. Wife, he's keeping children. Because he's our dwelling place in all generations. Listen, if you don't do anything else, make sure you put your children in the safest place you can put them. And that's in the Lord. I know you exert a lot of energy to make sure they have a good education, and that's good. They need a good education. But that education can't keep them. You got people with PhDs sleeping on the bridges. One wrong turn, one wrong twist, and that degree I know you teach them about saving, but listen, your money can be gone as fast as you blink your eye. You mess around and go to the hospital without insurance, and you get one of those bills that you got to put on a payment plan because your money is not that long. So it's not your money. It's not even the person you stood across the aisle from or the altar and said, for better or worse. They can do you some good, but they can't be your safe place. Listen, if you don't do anything else, make sure that you are in the safest place. Your spouse is in the safest place. Your children, your grandchildren are in the safest place they can be, and that's in the Lord. The doors of the Lord's house stands ajar. If you're here today and you're not saved, come on. Come on, get in the Lord by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. Confessing him with your mouth and believing him with your heart. And the Bible says thou shalt be saved. Come today if you're not saved. Secondly, come today if need of a church home. And the Lord has laid New Bethlehem Baptist Church on your heart. Come on. Come on. Thirdly, if you're here and you need to be restored, you're backslidden. You're not as close to God as you used to be. And you're asking God, where have you been? Or where have you gone? And God is saying, I'm not the one that left. You walked off from me. He's still where you left him. And he says, repent and remember from whence thou hast fallen. God is still God. Come on, the doors of the Lord's house stands ajar. You can come by ladder. Christian Experience, a candidate for baptism. Come on. Come on, come on. The doors, the doors. Come on, come on. Come on, come on. The Lord said, come. I say, come. Pastor Emeritus, preachers say, come. Deacons say, come. Trustees say, come. Choir say, come. Person standing beside you say, come. Come on. Glory to his name. All hearts and minds clear. All hearts and minds clear. Father, we thank you for what our eyes have seen, ears have heard, hearts have received. You're God and you're God alone. You're faithful. We're frail. We're in constant need of your favor, your mercy. Thank you, Lord, for your mercies being new every morning. Because of your faithfulness, we're not consumed. Lord, you have been gracious to us in leading us into this place called New Bethlehem, into this sanctuary. Where we have enjoyed your presence, been edified by the word, and enlisted to go out and serve as your servants. Lord, bless us individually and collectively. Send angels before us and encamp angels around us to keep us on the way. Lord, give us your mercies and your grace, the love of Jesus Christ, that all will rest, rule and abide with us now, henceforth, and forever. And every heart say, amen. 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 And amen. Go in peace today.